Raise your hand if you've read the Part 1 and Part 2 No Surprises Act rules. Okay, don't see that many hands. So good news, bad news. Good news is you still have plenty of time to read them. Bad news is the law actually took effect on December 27th of 2021. More bad news, even the parts of the law that are not in Part 1 and Part 2 of the rules that my conscientious audience members have read are now in effect, and some of the recent postings as of this week and perhaps the past few weeks focus on areas of the law that you might not have spent that much time thinking about even though you read Part 1 and Part 2 of the proposed rulemaking. So this one's rough, okay? So it applies to items and services provided by most types of health plans, but you can see at the bottom of this slide that there are a few corridors of coverage that are excluded, Medicare and Medicaid. But if you represent healthcare providers and you're wondering whether the No Surprises Act applies to you, the short answer is yes. Yes, it does. It doesn't matter if you're a hospital or a psychiatrist or a chiropractor. On the provider side, the No Surprises Act generally applies to all healthcare providers. So this is a big one. The first part of this, and I didn't talk about this heavily on the introduction slide, so I want to give it a moment, is the cost estimate part. So the first part that went into effect, if you read the Part 1 and Part 2 rules, are the good faith estimates for uninsured and self-pay individuals. This could literally be anyone, because as a quick reminder, HIPAA gives anyone the right to choose to decline to use their coverage and to self-pay for something in full. So from my perspective, any patient can walk into a facility, indicate that they plan not to use their coverage, and ask for a good faith estimate. After they get that estimate, they might change their mind about whether they intend to use their coverage. But it essentially means that providers need to be prepared to provide a good faith estimate to just about anybody for just about anything. The other part that took effect in January that's not in the Part 1 and Part 2 rules, so my conscientious readers listen up, is the part about the provider directories. So the provider directory parts of the No Surprises Act are really designed to turn the screws on both plans and providers about accurate provider directories. And if a person, so as of the beginning of this year, the plans and the providers are on the hook for having that information be correct. And in particular, the providers are on the hook for sending in updates in their directory information to the plans in a pretty, reasonably quick amount of time. If someone relies on an incorrect provider directory to conclude that a provider is in network and the provider is actually out of network, the provider cannot bill the individual on an out-of-network basis. And if they have billed in the past few weeks or couple of months, I guess, someone that way, they have to refund all of that money. This is not discussed at all in the proposed rulemaking, and there is not a lot of clarity on what this means. I think I have one more thing to say. So I really encourage you to read the new FAQs, which I think you can get to one of the landing page links that we've included in the resources, but the helpful thing in the latest FAQs is that they've included all of the requirements for providers in the No Surprises Act at a high level as sort of bullet points, and then they've taken each requirement and created a chart that says what is the requirement and what are the exceptions. So if this is all sort of like what is happening here, I say go straight to the new FAQs and sort of launch in from there.
Thanks, Leah. The best resource is to continue to go to those links because the FAQs are updated pretty frequently, and there are a number of FAQs. We've highlighted two of them that came out over the past 2 days, but there are a number of other FAQs that have been published prior to that, and those, as you know, are sub-regulatory guidance that most of us need to access, in addition, in particular in this circumstance, because we don't have regulations yet that help us with respect to at least trying to predict what's going to happen. So I'm going to talk a little bit more about, just finish up the No Surprises Act requirement. Conceptually, this was implemented to protect consumers from what is called the surprise bill. We've all been dealing with this for many, many years now because of the out-of-network issues, and we're sitting here in Texas where there was a proliferation of out-of-network payment methodologies. As you can see, in particular on this slide, it covers very specific types of services: out-of-network emergency, covered items and services, covered items and services that are provided by an out-of-network provider at an in-network facility, and the air ambulance items and services that are out-of-network. With respect to payment in particular, I just want to highlight what many of us prior to this really struggled to address, and that is using in-network cost sharing or in-network payment for out-of-network services. There's some very specific prescriptions here with respect to what payers must do in conjunction with out-of-network payment. So I'll just